said, Father, look. Or I said, my sermon's already been preached. I said, what should I do? He goes, just wrap it up. Let's go. No, really. And what's interesting about this is, Father, you know, we get this schedule, this sermon schedule that Father David prints out for us and sent it out. And I began to study the lessons that were assigned. And I usually do that when I get the, and I know I'm a month out because I travel a lot, and it's real important for me to start trying to process and get something in my spirit and try and hear what the Lord's saying. And it's got to be really tough to do that every week, week after week. You know what I mean? It's got to be tough to try and keep your ears focused on what the Lord's saying, okay? So we who get to minister or preach occasionally have a little bit more of an advantage, I would say, or it could be a disadvantage, I don't know. But what's interesting is the scripture readings for next week don't say any of this, but the Lord began to kind of speak to me about exactly what's happening, about the source of our strength. And I think most of you missed the lessons today, probably, because we get a little distracted listening to that. And anyway, Father David called me a couple weeks ago and said, hey, I don't know where I was somewhere off, and he said, hey, the Lawrences are going to be here on your day. Do you mind changing to the next Sunday? You could pick either one, this one or the next one, whatever. I said, okay, well, I'll take that one. And I just want to say, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. He is in our midst. Let me give you some opening kind of remarks about this passage that we read in Ephesians today. And say that most of the time when we read passages like we read today, and let me just read it real quick one more time, because some of you I know missed it. Because if you were really paying close attention, we'd have been dancing in the aisles, because we are charismatics, right? And if that didn't move you, then what's said here is very evangelical. It's powerfully evangelical. But most of the time, what we kind of get lost in are some of the words, some of the language that Paul uses. But it is speaking to the church of the Messiah, right here, right now, today. Paul could be writing this to us. So let me read this real quickly. I'm going to go through it real quickly. I'm going to make some comments. We're going to wrap it up, because I just have three things to talk to you about. And I'm going to put Mark chapter 6. So open your Bibles, put your finger on Mark chapter 6. Let me just read that real quick so we don't forget what that is, because this is really short. Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village, calling the 12 to him. He sent them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. Okay? Now, you got to remember, Jesus hasn't died. He's not resurrected. He's just picked out 12 guys with 12 different personalities, some incredibly strong personalities, just different personalities. So there's a few more than 12 here. But he's given them authority over evil spirits, okay? These were his instructions, for the journey. Take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money for your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, shake off the dust of your feet when you leave as a testimony against them. They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. An incredibly powerful ministry for people that didn't have the Holy Spirit. Think about that. He just gave them a word. Here's what I want you fellas to do. You've seen me do this. You go do this. How did he do that? He just did it with authority. Ephesians chapter 1. You got to listen to this as if Paul were writing this to you. You got to keep it in context. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints at Church of the Messiah, the faithful in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful church. Let there be no doubt about it that this is a church that's battle-tested. Amen. Really. We have been in a battle for a long time. But you know what? God is in the midst of her. Okay? And this is what he's saying to us. This is the faithful church. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace, the unmerited favor of God to you, and peace. Peace between God and man. Peace to you, Church of the Messiah. Peace. Then, this is titled Spiritual Blessings. It says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing, church. He's not holding anything back. Nothing he's holding back. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he has lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding, and he made known to us the mysteries of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked with him and sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Can I get up? I need something to blow my nose. I cannot. Honey, where did you put that? Can we just borrow this? I'm sorry, I'm probably messing things up on the... You guys know I get a little emotional about this preaching stuff. It is very humbling to do this. It's very humbling. It's such an honor. Let me just share with you a couple of things about what I just read. Most of us, many times, we get hung up on the words. Predestined, foreknowledge, elected. We kind of get hung up on that. I'm just going to tell you that what God wants us to get hung up on is him. He's not hung up on theology. Our theology may not be perfect. We may not understand. And listen, we don't understand what that means. We don't. The church is confused. You know why? Because God doesn't work in our time-space paradigm. He is God. He can do whatever he wants to do. He made us. We didn't make us. He's making us. How he does it, he does it. He's just looking for relationship. Paul, in all of his letters, goes over and over and over this very same theme constantly. God has poured out redemption, salvation. He's poured out his Son, Jesus Christ. He's blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. Just like heaven said today, maybe the trials are tough. Maybe it feels like you're in prison. Maybe you're discouraged. Maybe you are filled with doubt. Maybe your faith is weak. Maybe you haven't seen a victory in God for years. But here's what all of this means. Don't give up. Don't lose heart. Don't lose faith. God, who is faithful, is working in us through the Lord Jesus Christ, and His Spirit is alive and well. He's redeemed us by the blood of the Lamb. It's His authority we operate in. In fact, He has given us a deposit, a sure guarantee of our redemption and our hope, the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know about you, but as Father David would say, that makes me hoppin' happy. I'm telling you. So we have to remember that God is on the throne, that God is our source. That's what Paul is trying to relay to us. We can't get distracted with how God's working. But this is meat. I mean, I was thinking about this. This is real meat. And you guys are meaty Christians. Meaty Christians, not needy Christians. We all are needy at times, but we're meaty Christians. Man, we love to hear big sermons with great, powerful, deep theological implications. But God really is interested in relationship. That's what He really is interested in. He just needs us to recognize that He's our source. It's not political parties that are our source of strength. Listen, it's not the economy. It's not our bank account. It's not our stock position. While those things are important to us, to God, He's our source. All we have to do is keep our eyes on Him, and He'll give us everything. He's given us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. All we have to do is access it. Now, what does that mean? Well, for some people, they're going to find rules. I got to have rules in order to get something from God. I got to make sure I maintain this high level of these standards, whatever they might be. Churches spend hours and hours and hours, and theologians come up with all these rules. And God says, listen, I've done this for you. I've done this. All you have to do is believe. Have faith. Jesus said, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. You can say to that thing, be gone. And it's gone. The reason I pointed out this Mark passage is because, look back with me real quickly. How these two work together is interesting. Last time Father Looker preached, you said there are some passages that just don't seem to go together very well. And these just don't seem to go together really well unless you look at to the in-between the writing. Because Jesus calls us. He's called each and every one of us. Unfortunately, or fortunately, depends on which side of the coin we're looking at, when we decide to become Christians and we decide to become baptized and God seals and anoints us with the Holy Spirit, right? We're called as ministers, all of us. In fact, we're all called as priests. Hello, a bunch of priests I'm looking at, right? What is that, 1 Peter chapter 2? He's made us a royal priesthood, a holy nation, to the praise of His glory. Now, why I spoke a little bit about Mark is, we need to reconcile this idea. I got to remember these R's, these three things. We have to reconcile this idea that God has done all this for us, okay? He has lavished upon us His grace, His glorious grace, redeemed us, bought us back. We're His people, the sheep of His pasture, okay? He sent out the 12. He may have sent each apostle with a trainee, I don't know. There may have been 24. Who knows? But let's just take it that they went out two by two. They didn't have the Holy Spirit. They just had, why don't you guys go do this? You guys go out and do this. You've seen me minister. You go minister. Tell them about repentance. And then I want you to anoint some people. I want you to pray for them. And God will heal them. That's what he said do. Okay? That's pretty simple. That's what he's saying to us. He didn't say, now he's not saying that. Here's the caveat. He said, if you go to a place and they don't receive you, dust your feet off, move on. Now, we think about it, we hear that and we go, oh, well, dust my feet off. What that really means is when people aren't interested, don't get discouraged. Don't get down. When you pray for somebody to be healed immediately, maybe they don't get healed immediately. Don't give up. Don't stop. Keep going. That's what he's saying. When you're discouraged, when you're down, when you, it seems like you're defeated, when you've prayed for people and they haven't been healed, when you anoint people and things don't happen in the natural realm, you don't see it happen right now. You press the microwave button and it's not working. Right? God says, it's okay. Go on to the next one. I'm just saying that's what he's saying. He's saying he's called us. Why? Because he's lavished on us his incredible grace, this ministry of reconciliation. So first of all, we need to remember that God is on the throne, that he's our source. Second thing, we need to reconcile the idea that we are called as well. And then that same power is in us. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, everybody's familiar with it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the things yet not seen. Kathy spoke to this today. And it's been on my heart. It's on our heart. You know, God, why don't we have a building? Why haven't we moved? Why this? Why that? He's done this for us, but can he bake a table? He's been feeding us with bread, but can he feed us with meat? It's the same question the children of Israel asked. So we have to think in terms of the long term. God's just working on us and continuing to work on us to build our character and our faith to the point that he can release us to do more things for him. That's all. Don't get discouraged. Don't get depressed. Believe that God who's called us is faithful. The last thing we need to do is resolve in our hearts. To resolve, to remember who our source is, to reconcile our ministry call, because we're all called. This is a very faithful church. When I thought about this, when I was thinking about you, and as I was praying about this, I saw your faces, and I thought about the tremendous ministry that this little church does. Seriously, there are a lot of little churches on the CEC that do tremendous ministry, that go way over and above and beyond things that big churches never can accomplish. This church, you guys really have hearts of ministry. What the Lord's saying to us today is just remember who your source is and don't get discouraged. Press on, press in. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Resolve to move forward. And don't quit. You know, I think about Joseph. And I think about how we look at the foreknowledge and the predestination of God. It's always easy to look back. Always. Because then we see how God's hand worked. You know the story about Joseph. His brothers didn't like him. His dad loved him. His brothers didn't like him. They threw him in a pit. Talk about discouragement. Anybody thrown in a pit? It seems like it sometimes. Some days it probably feels like we've been thrown in a pit. Then some guys come by, they capture him, they get him out of the pit. He's not going to starve to death. He's not going to, you know, die in the pit. A lion's not going to come eat him or whatever. They pull him out, they make him a slave. Ooh, there's an upgrade. So, you know the story. That doesn't really work out all that well. But, he gets accused of things. And anyway, God promotes him, so he's the ruler of the land because God's favor is in his life. Why? Because Joseph didn't stop believing. Joseph never took his eyes off God because he knew who the source was. He didn't look at the circumstances. He kept his eyes on the source of his strength. It's so easy for us to get distracted, right? Seriously, I'm saying that because it's easy for me. It's easy to get our eyes on our bank account. We forget who the source is. All we have to do is get up every day and say, God, thank you for all that you're doing for me. Your favor is on me. You've anointed me. You've called me. Lord, put some people in my way today that I can minister to, that I can just touch. I love that. Was Kathy, did you just say we just needed to touch people? Isn't that what it was, the word that came to you? That's absolutely the truth. You don't have to say great, eloquent prayers and get down on your knees and say, oh, God, if you just heal this person. No, you could walk by their desk at your office and you could walk around that desk and say, Lord, today I want you to heal this person. I want you to do something miraculous in their life so they recognize you. You might do that quietly. What I'm saying is, we're connected. He's blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. Don't forget who the source is. Remember, reconcile that and resolve this week to begin to step out in that faith walk. Don't be discouraged about the situation. Know that God is our source. Hey man, the economy's terrible, but there are people that are thriving. There are businesses out there that are thriving. God, just send people my way. Why not? You know, I always, I'm still hung up on Isaiah chapter 61. So I'm just going to remind you that the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me to preach good news to the poor. He sent us to bind up the brokenhearted. Do you know some people that are brokenhearted today? Maybe you're brokenhearted. Just know that God loves you, that God is for you, that God is with you. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you, that no matter what trial you're going through today, He is the source. And He's anointed you in the midst of your trials, in the midst of your problems, in the midst of your discouragement, to be a blessing and a minister to others. Because when you do, it releases the power of God in others' lives. Other people are transformed by your faithfulness, in spite of the difficulties you're going through. Can you say Paul and Silas? Where's Kevin? Wherever he is. Ah, there he is. Can you say Paul and Silas? That's exactly the theme. That's exactly what he's trying to do through us. Hey man, we may feel like we're in prison where we are. It doesn't matter. They said this is a great place. We're chained up. Let's just praise God. Why not? It's a great place to do that. Now, we would go, oh, God, this is miserable. I'm miserable. You promised me all of these good things. Where are they? No. I didn't finish telling you the story about Joseph. So all those bad things happen to Joseph. God promotes him. But you know why he promoted him? The real story is that Joseph went through all of that testing because when his brothers were going to starve to death, guess who had all the food? Right? So in spite of where the battles you may be battling today, whatever they are, whatever battle you face, be faithful. Remember that God's your source. Remember that in the end, God will get the glory and the praise. Amen. Now, I'm going to stop right there because it's 12 o'clock and we are really late. But I've got to pray this prayer over you. I just didn't have time to develop the whole thing, but I'm going to pray this prayer over you. Ephesians chapter 1. I want you to pray this prayer over you every day this week. Try and remember. Resolve to do this. Reconcile this in your heart. And this is the prayer that Paul prayed. And here's what I want you to read. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 18 through 22. No, through 21. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Are you listening to me, church? Are you listening to God, what God wants you to hear? This prayer, the richness, the glorious inheritance, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power, and this is what Kathy talked about, is like the working of his mighty strength, which he has exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead. This is the prayer that you need to read. And seated him at the right hand of the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in this present age, but also in the one to come. Amen and amen. All we need to do is access that. All we need to do is recognize and remember this prayer, that God has placed us in the heavenly realms. He's given us, he's infused us, just like God said through Kathy. He's infused us with the power of the resurrection. That's powerful, folks. I don't know about you, but that's like being raised from the dead. Because maybe one time we were dead in our trespasses and sins, but now we're alive to God. Our eyes are opened. He's blessed us in the heavenly realms. He says this powerful prayer over us. Remember that you have been raised with Christ, and that power that God the Father used is in your life. No matter what. No matter what the circumstances are. No matter what the situation is. And that's good news. We've had tremendous ministry today. And I know God is pleased with our praise. He really put this service together just in a great way. And I hope that that we can go out this week and remember and recognize and resolve that God is in our midst. He's the source of our strength, and he's infused us with the power of the resurrection. Amen? Amen. All right. Amen. Well, Father Looker.